Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And we're welcoming today to the studio our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Sean, good to see you.
Great to see you, as always.
You brought a guest with you.
I call him a victim.
It's another word for it. That's another word. We could have used that.
Doug's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. We were just talking. I think the last time he was on the show is when the radio station was at the other building. So I don't know. How long has it been since you guys have been here?
Boy, it's been about 3 years or so. I didn't realize it had been that long, Doug.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I thought it had been a while. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
He's reminiscing that he's been dodging the bolt to come here, I guess, the past 3 years. But the reason why, one of the biggest reasons why he's with us today is he's retiring. His last day is going to be coming up this month on March 18th, and I thought this was a great opportunity to come in and make him do all the talking for the next hour, and I could just sit here and smile.
Looking forward to touching on that and some other things that you have for us as well, Sean. I do want to send a big shout out to all of our good friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate the gang over there. Do yourself a favor. Type into your YouTube search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on all the cool things they're doing over there. Sean, since we have Doug here, you want to start right there? You want to start with this?
You know, might as well.
Yeah. Let's rip the Band-Aid off, Doug. Let's go ahead and dive right in.
Here we go.
Yeah. Let it rip.
Doug, for you, I know that we're talking about the end of a career here and everything, and I appreciate your service very much. If you don't mind, I want to rewind for a second, though. What made you get into this line of work?
Boy, that's been a long, long time ago. Yeah. My family is a trucking family, so I've gotten to hear a lot of stories about different officers through the years that they've had interactions with. Some good, some bad, but really focused on the good interactions, and I wanted to be able to do that. So,
yeah, that's a great answer. Great answer. Yeah. When it comes to your early days in this, did you know right away this is the right line of work for me? Did you have doubts early in your career with it?
No, I knew right away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to me. Almost anybody I talk to in whatever, you know, job they're doing or walk of life or something, it seems like, well, yeah, there was a day where, I don't know, it was really hard or something like that. I talk to police officers, firefighters, anybody like that. Nope, no doubt, none. It's just interesting. You know, I'm not saying anything one way or the other about, you know, these jobs or these types of people. I just, we use this phrase a lot, but there's a reason. There is a calling to it. And you heard that call right away.
Yes, I did.
How long have you been in service? Sean talked about this a little bit, but how long have you been doing this, and what kind of jobs have you done in the time that you've been serving our community?
So I'll be retiring just shy of 30 years. I started off with the Wisconsin State Patrol. That was my first time, or my first full-time spot. I worked for about a year as a State Patrol inspector, so I was working right directly with the trucking industry. And then I moved into a trooper spot, and from there I came back to Wood County.
I know talking with Sean about this, and Sean has brought in some retired officers, and we've talked about this a little bit. This is one of those jobs where you retire, but you don't really leave completely. That badge doesn't necessarily completely be removed. When it comes to keeping connections with the community, with your fellow officers, your friends over there, are you looking forward to doing that, or are you heading to Florida? Are you heading out?
Actually, I just got back from Florida.
Did you? That's all right.
I'm surprised you came back.
No, I'll definitely keep those connections open and stay involved.
I appreciate that, the feedback on those last couple of questions, because one of the things we like to do with this show is certainly promote the things that Sean has to talk about here and highlight them, give some depth to them that maybe we're not able to otherwise. But we're always looking to make new officers out there. We're always looking to keep this industry very healthy, and that information could help somebody out there who may be on the fence or have not even thought about this as a career and like, well, wait a minute, that lines up with what I like and that lines up with what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah. No, just to reminisce with him, Doug did, he forgot to mention, he started as a part-time deputy reserve deputy for the Sheriff's Department. So, you know, that program, you know, goes back so many years and gives people that opportunity to, you know, get that first taste or experience into law enforcement. And I know when shortly after high school, he's a Lincoln grad.
Nice.
So, you know, a thing to highlight that I always like to do is when you have somebody that, goes in, goes to college. As Doug mentioned, he knew pretty quickly that this was the passion, the career that he wanted to be part of. Got the experience with, our reserve deputy program at the time, and then took a job with the State Patrol and worked there a few years. And then what's really admirable is that, with the State Patrol, you can get put almost anywhere in the state. And back then, it's a little bit more competitive than it is now, where you can't really choose where you want to be. Hmm. You get put somewhere, and I don't recall exactly where you were working when you were with the State Patrol, but you had the desire to come back, and he got hired in 1999. I remember quite vividly, and we'll probably talk a little bit more in depth about that. But I had started in 97, and then we didn't hire anybody for a couple of years. And Doug was the first hire, because back then at the Sheriff's Department, we really didn't have much turnover at all. And really didn't, I think before myself and John Hiller were hired, it had been, I think, another 5 years that we had an opening, previous to that. And I think that's when Scott Mahaka got hired. So, I mean, it was different back then, but what is really something to highlight is back then you had to get experience, somewhere in law enforcement full time to get to the departments that, you really wanted to. And, with Doug being, growing up here in Wisconsin Rapids and having a desire to come back and raise a family, and be part of the community, that's huge. I really personally appreciate that and love to talk about it, the people that want to come back to the community that they grew up in and want to serve that community.
What did that mean for you, Doug? Again, going back to the calling part of this, wherever you're able to serve, you're going to be giving it everything you've got and honoring the badge, I know. But when you're able to do that in your roots, in your own hometown and everything, what does that mean to you? What did that mean to you, or does that mean to you?
So getting into law enforcement, I knew right away that I wanted to work for the Sheriff's Department. My wife's father, my father-in-law, he worked for the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. So kind of following in his footsteps, it was quite an honor to get the phone call, offering a position with the Sheriff's Department. As, right from the beginning, that this is where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Getting to patrol the areas that I knew, serving the community that I loved,
It's interesting. Hmm. What were some of your guys' early memories of those first days, those early days?
Well, and, I think our career paths kind of mirrored each other. I think our goals when we were on patrol were, getting into, I think a big one for us was getting on the special response team, and again, going back to that time frame, there weren't many openings because the team was already established. And that was a goal. You saw the people that had the seniority, had the leadership positions, and we're being mentored by them, but it's like you had to wait, like you couldn't get on the team. And we both did around the same time, I think you started as a sniper, sharpshooter, and I was a negotiator, and then moved into an entry position. Then you kind of had a dual position. And what the first highlight I'll bring up is, we got sent to training over to Rice Lake for entry school, and so the training is basically other people from other SWAT teams from around the state, and it's just that basic entry level training that you have to have. I think it was called basic SWAT training. And it's a week-long school over in Rice Lake. We had a great time until, I don't know what day it was, but we were going through some scenario training, and Doug wound up losing a tooth. And I'll never forget, I think you were in front of me going through the stack, and they, it was kind of like somebody holding a bag, and then they push you back, and you need to have, some of your equipment out, and whatever happened. Part of the equipment, I think it was your gun, came back and hit you in the face, and then he turned to me and pointed, and I'm like, whoa, you're missing a tooth.
That's a new one.
So yeah. Timeout, we had to go through that, and an instructor came over, and I think, took you to a local dentist, and you came back pretty quickly, though. You weren't gone very long. I mean, he was able to complete the
training.
I had to
have the rest of that tooth removed.
Oh, did I was
so,
going to
so
ask.
So then,
okay.
Throughout the rest of this training, working with a bunch of kind individuals, all of them with a sense of humor. Right. Every chance that Sean got, he had to make me smile. And then people started showing up with white Chiclets.
Oh, yeah.
Here, see if this one will fit. And then they started showing up with quarters. Well, this is in case the tooth fairy can't find you because you're away from home.
It's so cheap. I mean, just a quarter.
Just
really.
A quarter, but I thought that's great. That's
and
awesome.
I don't know if we got many pictures of that. That was like before the cell phone, you know, time. I think everybody had flip phones. So I think you lucked out on that. I mean, to be honest, I think you did.
Yeah, actually, kind of dodged one right there.
Yeah, but, you know, that's kind of, and then the other thing, too, that we did early on our career together, we both had a, you know, an interest, and it turned into a little bit of a passion for traffic crash reconstruction. Mm-hmm. You know, I think with the background with your, you know, with the State Patrol, and then one of our, he's long since retired, Rick Kirst, you know, one of our trained officers, was our only department's traffic crash reconstructionist, and kind of pushed us, hey, this is, you know, something that, you know, you guys should be interested in. And little did we know the training that really brought to the table once we made that commitment to be a traffic crash reconstructionist. I think it was extremely eye-opening for both of us on the training that you have to go through. And it's not easy, you know. I remember we both probably had different times that we'd struggle through different aspects of the training because it's so specialized, you know. And we're really fortunate now to have a State Patrol having their traffic reconstruction unit because they're always helping, not just our department, but everybody in doing these types of investigations. But we did those together and, you know, getting through the training and then getting deployed to, unfortunately, you know, traffic fatalities, you know, getting, you know, those phone calls anytime during the night or whenever. And the first one that we worked together was on County Highway F, where somebody had rear-ended somebody else and basically pushed their vehicle off into the ditch area, into a field, and the person was ejected and died. And then the offending driver took off, you know, left the scene, probably was intoxicated. An off-duty officer, you know, came upon the crash and told him to stay, but he took off. So we got called out to that, and then we put the knowledge and training to work and put a lot of time in. Doug did he's a better drawer than I am. I kind of draw things in crayon. He's a little bit more precise and everything, but back then, the computer programs were starting to evolve, so a lot of the information, our training was like longhand, you know, doing, you know, using calculators, figuring out the formulas that would fit this investigation. And what we found out is how precise the science is. You know, we worked his drawing. You know, it was a momentum kind of investigation or problem to work out, and you know, lo and behold, we came up with a speed and the impact speed of what you know, that crash was, and when that person was rear-ended, how fast that vehicle was going. And I remember, you know, we're looking at each other like, wow, is this working out that this person's probably going 80 plus miles an hour at the impact or somewhere around there, and just working that problem and figuring out, okay, this is probably one of the main contributing factors that led to the death of somebody else. And then seeing that through, you know, into the district attorney's office was a pretty big experience for us. I took away from, you know, working together and really, you know, the head scratcher of like, wow, this stuff does make sense, you know, with what we've learned. And, you know, and you could talk a little bit more about that, because there's a few crashes that we were called out to that, you know, they're hard to work, but you take the knowledge and the training, the investment that the sheriff's department made in you, and then you make that commitment. And, you know, we've gotten called out several times during our career to, you know, work together to figure out, you know, okay, what happened. And, you know, it's something that, again, that not only SRT working, you know, together with, but even, you know, doing traffic crash reconstruction and those investigations were something that that experience, even though the tragedy part of it, but, you know, we're doing our job for the right reason to make sure that somebody is held accountable, if they are. You know, it really depends on the crash, because there's been some that were head scratchers. Why, you know, I think the one in over by Vesper where Amish got rear-ended, and we put a lot of time in that, and it was a drunk driver hit an Amish trailer and killed at least one person, if I remember right. And then working through that, we're like, okay, this is, I wouldn't say a no-brainer because that's not fair, but, you know, like, okay, we have somebody that's intoxicated, rear-ending somebody. It just seems like we know the facts here. This person's probably going to get prosecuted. But then once we worked with the State Patrol as they're evolving, we found, well, wait a minute, there's some other factors here that we have to consider. Mm-hmm. And that was the lighting on the trailer. All right, now we're at dusk and almost dark, and you have to look at what that other driver's seen. You know, and that was an experience for us that initially I don't think, you know, we agreed with, but then as we talked about it, it's like, okay, if that that shows that there's not just fault on, you know, you get tunnel vision, okay, we have a drunk driver. Mm-hmm. All right, this makes sense that this person's going to be held accountable for it. And they were to some level, but, you know, you look at the cause of the crash, mm-hmm. and then that's where that came up. But there's a few of those examples out there that, you know, that we had the opportunity to work together with, and then even evolve with the State Patrol as well, and continue to learn.
It's a part of the job that I'm very interested in, and I think that we could spend a whole hour on just this department and just talking about this work. Maybe we should sometime, because I find it interesting. I'll admit, it's a little triggering for me. I was in a lot of accidents as a kid, mm-hmm. and just talking about this stuff, I'm a little... I don't have a lot of quarter for this when it comes to bad driving or people not paying attention to driving, let alone drunk driving and some of these other things. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for the people that do this, for lack of a better way to put it, puzzle work that goes on mm-hmm. With this, along with the emotional toll that this must take and everything. I do want to ask just a side question before we get into any other highlights or anything like else of Doug's career. Something, and I think Joe could touch on this too, when it comes to acting, one of the first things I'll tell people about acting, you want to be good at acting, work behind the scenes. You know, work behind the stage and understand a little bit of what it's like to be out back there and doing some mm-hmm. things. Run sound, be a prop person, something like that. It'll make you that much better at it. Did you guys find where you are now in your careers, these early jobs, these early things really helped you form into what you are now? I'll start with you, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. I can recall working as a reserve deputy, actually doing a ride-along with Rick Kirst and the early days of the crash recon program, and asking a lot of questions and just being amazed that he was able to take what appeared to be a small amount of information and put things back together to determine how fast people were going, where the vehicles were, what happened after the crash, to put the vehicles into whatever configuration that we find them when we get on the scene. Mm-hmm. So, yes, asking a lot of questions and just being there and watching someone with the expertise do the job, it tends to form the pathways that you want to take.
Yeah, yeah. Sean?
No, I'd agree. You know, I can't say enough positive things about Rick Kirst. When we both started our career here, being... You know, he's a training officer, extremely smart, a lot smarter than us, I think. We found that out. I was pretty upset with him initially when he talked me into doing the traffic reconstruction, and I got sent down to Northwestern University for a two-week school. And he told me that, you know, a lot of the trains set up in phases. You know, you start with, you know, the technical aspect of it, and then you go into more of the, you know, I wouldn't say the expertise, but more... It comes down to like the mass stuff, like the one that I'm talking about, vehicle dynamics. And I think that was a week-long school. And so I get sent down, and I remember being pretty upset with him pulling. You know, I felt like I was in college again, pulling all-nighters and trying to figure out this training. And I came back pretty mad at him, you know, and he told me, oh, you'll go through that, no problem, it'll be a breeze. And it wasn't for me. You know,
that was intense training.
Yeah. And I just said, you know, I could have gone to the other train to set you up for this. And, you know, but it just shows that, you know, how smart, you know, Rick is, and how he got it. And then that, very similar to what Doug said, you know, working with him and then seeing him, you know, investigate these crashes like he did, you know, have an impact. I'm like, you know, I'd like to do that. You know, the unfortunate thing is what you're dealing with, the tragedies, but at least you're helping get, you know, an answer. And in the big picture, you're holding somebody accountable that could have prevented a crash.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah.
Are there parts of this particular part of the job that people would be surprised by, or are, you know, not common knowledge as far as putting these scenes back together or trying to figure out what happened?
Probably the biggest thing that, you know, since we haven't been doing it for quite a while, you know, looking at, you know, the technology and how that has changed so fast. You know, for us, and this is kind of a fortunate thing, we didn't get called out a lot, you know, and that's a good thing if you look at it. But on the flip side of it, if you're not doing these investigations all the time, you got to really rely on, you know, the train that you got and reverting back to it. And then with technology changing, and that was happening when we were, you know, still doing this, it's a pretty big investment that a law enforcement agency has to commit to. And we're seeing that, you know, with, you know, we would map out scenes with, you know, roll tape measures. And
we literally started with two tape measures.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we'd have to get the long ones, 300-foot stuff, and do it kind of the long way. Now, you know, the State Patrol and some law enforcement agencies that are pretty busy with this kind of, these kind of investigations will make that investment with a total station where they're, you know, popping down, you know, basically a computer and a camera and then mapping the whole scene out. And it's quite an elaborate process that has gone through. So technology has changed a lot throughout, and the cars have become safer. You know, if you look at, you know, one of the last fatalities we had, and we'll talk about a little bit with Highway 10 and 186, you know, looking at the cars and, you know, seeing how a newer car that collided with an older car, both, you know, having airbags and everything, but then the newer car having side airbags and just the safety things that have changed with motor vehicles, which is to our benefit. We have to consider those.
We're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back more with our Wood County Sheriff's Department. We've got Sean and Doug with us, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, right here at WFHR.